Tonight we come to the eighth in the series on spiritual warfare. We have been talking now. This will be the fourth message on Babylon versus Christ. Remember, Jesus is creator. And remember, the Babylonian spirit is anti who Jesus is. Jesus is the substance. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is the Lord, the high priest, the mediator. Jesus is the Word. The Antichrist spirit is against all those things. Tonight, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Antichrist spirit, against that, the Babylonian spirit, but it's an Antichrist spirit, is that Jesus, the Word, is not the truth. In fact, the Babylonian spirit teaches that there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. Everything is relative. Everything is relative. There is no absolute truth. Now, I don't know what you know. I'm not going to give you much on this. I know a lot about this because of my teaching over so many years. I know what's happened to the educational world. I could take you back to the Renaissance, and I won't. But I mean, you can go clear back to the Renaissance, and you can see Descartes and others beginning to challenge the idea in the Western world that there is any absolute truth, especially in the realm of faith. They taught that this is just opinion. It's your opinion, your opinion. There is no absolute truth. Everything is relative. All moral values are relative. All truth is relative. Then Hegel comes along in the Romantic movement in the 19th century, and he just basically says that everything is moving dialectically. But again, you never can reach the truth. Everything is changing, changing, changing. But you can never reach the truth. See, the truth is of Christ. Is that God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? You see, the most important things, the things that are deeply true in Christ, are permanent and eternal. In fact, all truth of Christ, and He is truth, is eternal and never changes. The world thinks that everything is changing. That's what the Babylonian system teaches. You see, before Darwin came along to teach everything was evolving and changing constantly, in 1859 when he wrote The Origin of the Species, that had been taught for centuries. That had been taught, well, the sophists taught the same thing in ancient Greece. So that whole idea that everything is changing and everything is relative, I mean, got into the world because, you see, it's not a scientific truth. Darwin didn't teach any scientific truth. Darwinism is not scientific. It is a rejection of science. Because all Darwinism is reasoning in a circle, which is philosophy. You assume evolution to be true in order to prove it true. That's all evolution is. But what has happened to us is that this has come deeply, deeply within pragmatism, in the late 19th century, early 20th century in America, existentialism and liberalism of today. Liberalism of today, politically, is based on everything is changing. There is no absolute truth. And it is anti who Jesus is. It is anti Jesus as the absolute truth, because when people say that truth is relative, that's a lie. That's a lie from the Antichrist spirit, because there is no such thing as relative truth. Because if truth were relative, then what you thought and you thought and you thought and you thought would be different, and what you've lost is truth.
Right.
There is no such thing as truth being relative or truth being changing. If it changes, it isn't true. And if it's true for a moment and not the next moment, then you've lost truth. And that's what's happened to us. Our whole educational system, the textbooks, in my field, history, in political science, in psychology, in sociology, in all the so-called social sciences. By the way, they are not sciences, but they call them sciences. But in all of the social sciences, I mean the whole educational world, is captured by this notion that there is no absolute truth. I'm here to tell you that there is absolute truth, and it is right here. I'm looking at it. It is the Word revealed through God the Father, and before this was written, God the Father spoke the truth to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit came and God shouted the truth in the Ten Commandments, and the Holy Spirit wrote it on tablets of stone, and that defined this is right and this is wrong. For what is true is what is good, and what is good is what is true. And what is false is what is evil. And what is evil is what is false. Now, look with me in Daniel chapter 7. Because the Antichrist spirit, Daniel is speaking. Daniel got great revelations. By the way, he got such great revelations that he was totally exhausted. He was, he almost died under these revelations. And the enemy came at him. And the Antichrist spirit came against him and had to call on the Archangel Michael, the battle angel. And the Archangel Gabriel spoke to him, and the Archangel Michael came and fought against the spirit of Babylon that had come against Daniel. But here's what he saw in chapter 7 and verse 24. Here's what Daniel saw. As for the ten horns, these are ten kingdoms. In the end times, out of the kingdom, ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them. And he will be different from the previous ones, and he will subdue three kings. Now, this is the Antichrist, who is the different one. And he will subdue three of the ten. There will be seven left. You'll know to notice those numbers in the book of Revelation. And he will speak. Now, this is the Antichrist. So this is the Antichrist himself, but remember, there's an Antichrist spirit, and that's what we're talking about. See, it's the Antichrist spirit in the world today that teaches that truth is relative, that teaches that everything is changing, nothing is ever the same, that teaches there is no absolute truth, that teaches that this word is not the absolute truth. And he will speak out against the Most High. This is the Hebrew word Elyon. This is the word for God that is the one who possesses all things. He possesses all truth, but he possesses all things. And he is the ruler over all things. And this Antichrist will wear down the saints of the highest one. In other words, we who are in Christ are called saints. And he will try to wear us down. Like I said last time, he will try to wear out your spirit. He'll try to wear out your soul. He'll try to wear out your body. He'll try to wear you out, wear you out, wear you out. So that you will not get a hold of the absolute truth, and you will never let it go. Because if you never let it go, that truth in you is... See, Jesus' truth is always eternal. This truth that he gives us is not just for this world. It is for the next world.
Yes, sir.
It is for this world and the next world.
Yes, sir.
And this is why that truth sets free. Because the eternal world has control over this earthly world. And what is truth eternally will set you free both eternally and will set you free down here on this earth.
Praise God, God, yes.
And what is lie from the enemy will bring you into bondage. And all bondage is from the lies of Satan. There is no bondage in this world except from Satan. And he will intend to make alterations in the times and alterations in the law. Now, watch right there, that word, alterations in the law. What is the law? The law is spoken by God, and there is no law. The very word law itself means something that is fixed, that is absolute. So when people say law is relative, they've contradicted the notion of law. You see, relative truth contradicts the notions of truth. relative law contradicts the notion of law. That's why on the Supreme Court today, we have at least 7 of the 9, maybe 6, but Scalia and Clarence Thomas are the only ones I know who believe that the law of God is absolute and that the Constitution of the United States is based on that law.
Yeah.
All of the others say law is relative. Therefore, they give their own opinion about the time and what they want to read into the law, so they have made themselves law unto themselves.
Right.
They have made, you see, when men will not accept that there is an absolute law, then they will make their own opinions and their own ideas the law and force it on the rest of us.
Yeah.
And that forces us into bondage.
Yes, sir.
Because it is only the law of Christ. So law is fixed. Now, let me show you something here. Law is fixed, and law is fixed on the will of God. When God spoke the Ten Commandments, that was His will. That was His will, intent, and in purpose. Because He created us in His image, and He loves us, and He was trying to write in our hearts so that we would know how to love Him and come back into union with Him. Because the Ten Commandments are how we love God and how we love our fellow men. The first 4, how we love God. The second 6, how we love our fellow men. So, the law of God is the will of God. Now, what is good and what is evil? What is good is the will and law of God.
Yeah.
There is no other definition of what is good. What is evil? Evil is against the will of God and against the law of God. And what is the will of God and what is good is what is true. You see this?
Yeah.
What is the will of God is what is good, and what is good is what is true. And so the will of God, what is good and what is true, will set you free as you come willingly, willfully, and you can make a choice here, but you choose God, and you choose to believe Jesus, who is that truth, and the one who came to sacrifice to defeat Satan and to defeat the lies of Satan, because Jesus knew that the lies of the enemy believed by people would bring them into bondage, and that's exactly what Satan wants you to do to you, to bring you into bondage to lies, because his ultimate purpose is this. Not just to bring you into bondage, but to drag you down into death and hell.
Absolutely.
To drag you into darkness and death and hell. And lie will lead you into bondage, and bondage will lead you into deeper sin, and deeper sin will lead you into death and destruction and hell. Now, Matthew 24. Pray that I will be able to speak all that the Lord wants me to speak. I've been in prayer and in the Word most of the day, and sometimes my mind gets overwhelmed. My spirit man doesn't get overwhelmed, but my mind sometimes gets overwhelmed, and so pray that the Lord will give, through the Holy Spirit, give utterance, and that you will hear it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because it will set you free. It will set you free. I can't speak something that will set you free, but if I can speak the word under the anointing of the Spirit of God can come in you with truth, His truth, and can set you free. Because He wants you totally free tonight. He wants you totally free so you can set the captives free.
Amen.
And most of the world is in captivity. And most of the Christian world is in captivity. Now, Matthew 24, this is what Jesus said now. These are Jesus' words. I read this passage a lot. But I want to read this, and I want to read beginning with verse 9. Jesus is speaking about His second coming. He's been speaking about the kingdoms and the warfare between the kingdoms, between Babylon and Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom, and the satanic kingdom, the Antichrist and the kingdom of Christ. And He's talking about the war, earthquakes and famines and how this is the beginning of the things that will happen before he comes back on the earth again. Then in verse 9 he says, they will deliver you. Now he's speaking to his people. They will deliver you to tribulation. Tribulation is a word which means oppressing pressure. Pressure can be on your spirit or on your soul or on your body. When you get the word of God in the parable of the sower and the seed, Satan will try to send persecution and tribulation, oppressing pressure on you, so that you will not receive that word as eternal and remain in it. Because if you remain in it, it'll set you free and other people free.
Yeah.
And they will kill you. In other words, people will be killed.
Yeah.
You may be murdered. I don't know. I may be martyred. I don't know. But there will be some who will be martyred. And a martyr is one who will speak the truth according to what he knows that he knows that he knows, regardless of his life.
Right.
And you will do that only under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It's only as the Holy Spirit of God anoints you that you will do that. And you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. Why? The Antichrist spirit causes people to hate the truth and hate the word and hate the people of the truth and hate the people of word. Because it convicts them and says to them, they are sinful and must repent. And they don't want to hear it.
Amen.
They don't want to hear it. And at that time, many will fall away. Now, some translations say many will be offended. That's a poor translation. Because, skandaliso, the Greek word, means to fall away, to stumble. It means even to be an apostate, to fall away from the faith. Many will fall away. Just like Paul said, apostasy, Jesus won't come back until the apostasy. Yes, there's coming a great falling away. And you can't fall away if you are not a Christian. Many will fall away, and they will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets, false, speaking things that are supposedly of God and of the truth, and they will be false. There's more false apostles, more false prophets, more false teachers, false evangelists, false preachers all the time. This is what Jesus said. And will mislead many. And because of lawlessness. Lawlessness. Now what is lawlessness? There is no standard of what is true. There is no standard of what is good. Do you hear me? Lawlessness means the opposite of the law, fixed on the truth that God has established eternally. Jesus, the expression of that truth, and that truth will set you free. Lawlessness will bring you into bondage, into destruction, and into death. And that's Satan's plan. And lawlessness sounds like you're just going to have a wonderfully good time because you won't have to run your life according to any standard. You can just be yourself and be free to do your own thing, and you can do whatever you want to do. But you see, when lawlessness, when there is no standard of truth, and there is no standard of what is good or evil, and whatever you want to do, that's fine. The purpose of that is to Satan to entice you to believe that this is freedom when it is actually bondage. See, everything Satan does, he promises the opposite of what you get.
Exactly.
Satan promises the opposite of what you get. He promises freedom and it brings bondage. He promises you life and it brings you into death. Have fun. Do whatever you want to do. Now, Matthew 7. And this passage, I now fully understand. I thought I understood it before, but now I have a deeper understanding of it. Now I know why Jesus spoke the way he did. Matthew 7, verse 20. so that you will know them by their fruits. Now, you're going to produce fruit. You're either going to produce good fruit or evil fruit. Rotten fruit.
Amen.
Rotten fruit. Evil fruit is rotten fruit. Or good fruit.
All right.
Now, what will cause you to produce evil fruit? When you believe the lies of the enemy and receive them and act on them. And it'll lead you into bondage, and it'll lead you into death, and lead you into destruction, and the purpose is to lead other people into bondage and death and destruction. Just as Jesus' purpose is to get His truth in you, and His life and goodness in you, so you can lead other people into goodness and truth and life, and eternal life. See, that's this battle. This eternal, it's an eternal battle. Eternal consequences, you see. Because what Satan is doing is trying to bring people eternally into bondage, death, and destruction. And Jesus, the truth, is bringing people eternally into goodness and truth and life. Verse 21, now, not everyone, Jesus, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, some people who confess Him as Lord, you know, you may get to the gates of heaven and say, Lord, Lord, and he may say, I never knew you. I never knew you. There are a lot of people who think they're Christians and are not going to make it into heaven.
Right.
Because you've got to be producing the fruit of the life and the goodness and the truth of God.
Yes.
But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, that's who he will allow to enter the kingdom. He who does the will of God is what is good. And what is good is what is true. And you act on what is true eternally in your life. And God will allow you to come into heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And in your name perform many miracles? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The same word. Lawlessness. Believing there is no truth, there is no goodness. Everything is changing. And so, you see, the people here, they are casting out demons. They are exorcists. By the way, exorcist is a occult term, not a biblical term. And the witch doctors cast out demons. And by the way, the casting out of demons that way is just one group of demons getting after another group of demons. It is. See, Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only one who can set the house free. And prophesy. False prophet. There's going to be a lot of prophesying. But Jesus said, I never knew you. And in your name perform miracles. These are false miracles. What do I mean by false miracles? They are miracles which apparently cause some miraculous event in a person's life. But always when Satan is behind this, when it's a false miracle based not on the truth of God and the Word of God, whatever happens that seemingly gives freedom actually brings people into bondage. Because things that are dark miracles always bring bondage. So, and I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, now listen what he says next. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, His word is the truth, the only truth. Who hears the words that I speak and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been found on the rock. Now when you speak the truth of the word of God, you are tapped into eternal truth. You are tapped into His goodness. You are tapped into His strength and His power and His life. his truth, and it will come to pass. But there will be some storms. There will be some rain. There will be some floods. There will be some winds. But when you are built on the eternal word, you are built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will never let any circumstance, you will never let any circumstance shake you from standing on the word, which is eternally true and will eternally set you free and other people free. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So, if you are building what you are doing on the lies of the enemy, on what you regard or what people say is evolutionary truth or something relative, the winds of life and the storms of life will cause you to fall. And you will fall eternally too. Now, there is an Antichrist spirit that is in the world. And John talks about this, and I want to look at 1 John chapter 4, because John speaks of this Antichrist spirit that is a part of this Babylonian system. And so I want you to look at that with me. 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, that's you and I. You and I who love Jesus. Do not believe every spirit. Now what he's talking about here, here's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. The Father has sworn to Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's covenanted with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the truth. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus, who is the truth. The Holy Spirit makes alive the Word. The Holy Spirit puts the Word in your heart so that you know the truth, so that you can begin to confess that truth, so that that truth can begin to set you free, and that truth can begin to set other people free. But there are other spirits. They are of Satan. They are demonic spirits. And by the way, the spirit world, the dark spirit world, loves intellectual things, loves to play with people's minds, loves to get people to speculate, to use their own reasoning, to try to figure out what is true. Not to obediently, as a child, obey this word and know that this is the only truth, but men arrogating to themselves the idea that they can come to the knowledge of truth, and they will act on that. And so, he says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, the world is full of lies and deception. Satan is the father of lies. That's his nature. If he tells the truth, it's accidentally or deliberately to tell the truth to deceive you with another lie.
Right.
Because his purpose is always to deceive you and to lie to you, because he wants you to go into death and destruction. So these false prophets have gone out into the world. See, Satan is the ruler of this world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. Listen. This is a very important test. You need to begin to test and try the spirits to see if they're of God. That's why I tell people, and I pray, if I have a word, pray, and pray that the Lord will show you the truth of this before you act on it. Because even I may know in my spirit, you need to know in your spirit. You need to know in your spirit from the Holy Spirit. From you being in the Word. From you getting the Word. The Word may be in my heart, but the Word needs to be in your heart. So that you will know. That's the only safe way to act. Because you can be deceived, and you can have a brother that's been in the Word and has heard from God, and then maybe he falls away. Or is deceived himself. And so you don't want to trust anyone except as the Holy Spirit speaks to you through this Word and in your spirit. Now, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, why does the word say here, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Why was Jesus put in the flesh? Why did Jesus take human flesh? For one purpose. For one purpose. so that once men have been separated from God and the truth of God, Jesus, who is the truth, could come as a man and could die. If he hadn't become flesh, he couldn't die. And as he died, he defeated Satan, he defeated death, he defeated lies. He defeated all lies. He took all lies, and he'll take all lies out of your heart. You see, he defeated all of this. And you must understand that Jesus came to defeat all of this, and he came in the flesh, which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. And every spirit, let me read verse 3 again, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Jesus comes in the flesh. He's died. He's defeated death. He's defeated lies.
Amen.
He's defeated all that is evil.
Yeah.
And this is the spirit of Antichrist. That's the very spirit we're talking about. Antichrist spirit that is against the truth that Jesus has spoken. And it is coming and is now already in the world. It's already in the world. But you are of God, little children. Listen now. You are of God, little children. You have overcome these. You have overcome Satan. This is Nikael. This means you already conquered in Christ through receiving the truth of Christ. By the way, in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, verse 5, it says that darkness cannot receive the truth, understand the truth, or overcome the truth. So, you overcome, and in Revelation, it says all of us learned how to overcome, conquer Satan and the lies of Satan in your life. Because we're going to get practical here at the end. There are lies that people believe all the time, constantly believing lies of the enemy, especially spoken by other people. And it brings you into bondage, and you can't overcome the enemy until you overcome the lies in your own life. Then when you allow the truth of Christ to overcome the lies in your own life, then you can begin to use to pray for other people so that you can be used in Jesus' name to break the lies and bondage over other people, so that the truth of Christ can set them free. And when that happens, you are overcoming Satan. Because again, let me say again, darkness, that's the Babylonian kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, cannot receive truth, it cannot understand truth, and it cannot overcome truth. So, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Notice this. Notice that last statement. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now notice spirit. Notice spirit. Truth from Christ, the eternal truth of Christ, is only received as you let the Holy Spirit make the truth of this word alive so that you know that you know that you know. If God has said you are healed, you know that you know that you know you are healed. No matter the symptoms in your body. If God has said you are delivered from this bondage or that bondage, you know that you know that you know that you've been delivered, regardless of what the enemy is sending by way of circumstances or people who try to speak on the basis of the lies of the enemy. See, there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of error, and there are all kinds of demonic spirits of error. Socrates said there's only one truth, but there are many thousands of ways to be wrong and to be in error. And there is only one Holy Spirit of truth, but there are thousands of demon lies. There are thousands of demon lies. There may be millions of demon lies. I don't know. But I mean, there are all kinds of demon lies. These are lies. This is a spirit. This is a spirit. And by the way, the spirit of error that's falling on the world is coming more and more and more, is deceiving people I have never seen in my own teaching. I have never seen in the professional academic world and in the news media and in what is written. I have never seen so much spoken about world affairs and about history that I'm familiar with that is absolute total lie. Mm-hmm. Not just distortion, not just exaggeration, absolute total lie. Notice how in the campaign, Bush is a liar, Kerry's a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. This is a spirit, and you will not know who is unless you know Christ and unless the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the most important things for tonight, in fact, God gave me this morning in bed. And the Lord said, I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. I said, yes, sir, I will. When the Lord says, I want you to go someplace. Now, here, you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, this is the great lie. This is the lie to top all lies. In fact, in the King James, it calls it not a lie, but the lie. King James is a better translation, I think, in a lot of cases. if you want a better interpretation of the Greek, original Greek. Let's begin to read chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. What is the great lie? And by the way, we heard it from the mouth of Senator Kerry in the last debate. A version of it. And he doesn't know what he's speaking.
No.
I mean, he has no idea that he's spoken a lie from Satan. Verse 16. And by the way, I don't mean that as a political statement. I don't mean that as a political statement, really. I mean that as an eternal statement. Verse 16, chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now this is the good news of the truth of Christ. Because Jesus has died and he has stripped and taken our sin and he's taken our sickness and he's taken our disease and he's delivered us and he's delivered into hell and he took the judgment of hell and he came alive with a resurrection life power and went to the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit down so we could have the Spirit of truth in us. Hallelujah. So we could have a full salvation. For it is in us, the truth in us, active, is the power of God unto salvation. That Greek word salvation is the aspect, every aspect of salvation. I mean, it means to be saved spiritually, to be healed physically, to be delivered from all demon power, to be delivered from all bondage, to be filled with the Spirit, to have every promise in the Bible made for us alive and good eternally, now down here on the earth. Eternally true, but now true down on the earth. Man, this is good news. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first or the Greek, everyone, not just to the Jews. Everyone who will believe, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, what is righteousness? What is the key to right standing with God? When I receive the truth of God from the Word of God and understand it, knowing in my mind and in my spirit that what He has spoken is already true eternally. And I believe it even though I haven't seen it. And God loves it because He considers you righteous as He considered Abraham who believed before he ever saw Isaac born, before he ever saw the descendants of the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, and he never saw those, they're still happening. He couldn't have seen that all. But God considered him righteous only by faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God is the truth of God. So you have to take the truth of God and stand on it for you to be righteous. But it's not only starting in faith as I receive Christ. And unfortunately, many Christians have the first word faith, but they don't go unto faith. Because what God wants In fact, you can't please God. It's impossible to please God except by faith. You can come into God and be born again, and that is by faith. You can be healed by faith. You can be delivered by faith, and only by faith. But you've got to walk daily by faith, daily by faith. You've got to walk in that healing. You've got to walk in that deliverance. You've got to walk in that salvation. You've got to receive the Holy Spirit. You've got to walk in that Spirit day by 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 day. Abiding, 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 abiding. Remaining, remaining, remaining. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. The wrath of God is on ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth. Suppress the truth.
Yeah.
In unrighteousness. The Babylonian spirit that says there is no truth, that everything is relative, everything is changing, is unrighteous. You cannot be righteous except as you believe in the absolute truth of Christ and internalize believing it and standing on it. Because, why? Now see, the world doesn't want to accept what Paul's saying here. But it is the truth. This is the truth. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. What God is saying through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is that everyone in this world knows deep down that there is a God who is creator and controller and judge of all things. Did you notice it says that what is known is evident? Have you heard we hold these truths to be self-evident? That all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our whole constitutional system, expressed first here in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, is that we know that what God has revealed is self-evident within us. And what is self-evident is that these rights that God has given us are unalienable. They can't be sold, bought, given away, because God has given them. Governments don't give rights. Governments don't give freedom. God gives freedom. God gives life. God gives the pursuit of happiness, and by the way, the pursuit of happiness means that as the Beatitudes, happy is the man who does this in the will of God, who does this in the will of God, who does this in the will of God, who does this in the will of God. Has nothing to do with being happy in an outward sense. It has to do with obeying God here, obeying God here, obeying God here, and you'll be happy, you'll be happy, you'll be happy. And that's what our whole governmental system is. Because what is known, everyone knows. All you have to do, let me read it. For since the creation of the world, all right, through the creation, who is the creator? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, you can't see God, you can't see the Father, you can't see the Son, you can't see the Spirit, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made. So people are without excuse. All you have to do is look. I love my flowers. I love flowers. I love the outdoors. I love the creation of God. And I love the mountains. But all you have to do is look and you know that there is a creator behind who has made this. And He is the truth. For even though they knew God, they knew, people knew, all people knew.
Yeah.
By the way, later Paul says, before you hear the gospel, that's all God judges you by, what God has written in your heart, the truth that He's written in your heart.
Yeah.
They didn't honor Him as God or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. When you think you're wise, you're probably close to foolishness. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their heart to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For exchange the truth of God for the lie. Now here it is. Here it is. This is the great lie that God told me this morning. Be sure to tell the people. This is the great lie. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. The lie is that the created world, what we can see, is the beginning and the end and all there is. The created world is the beginning and the end and all there is. And if there's a God, He's only a part of that created world. That's where evolution comes from. That's where we get the idea that everything is changing. When you look at the created world, when you look at people, they get older. They're changing. Things rot and die in the world. Everything rots and dies and changes. You look at the created world, it looks as if everything is changing. But when they do this, they are basing their ideas on the great lie, and then you begin to worship the created. Now, the worship, true worship, is always worship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, because the Father is Creator, Jesus is Creator, and the Holy Spirit is Creator. And all true worship is only of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But Satan gets you to worship the created world. And guess who's created? Satan. God created him, not as Satan, as Lucifer. And then He gave him free will. He gave the angels will to follow Him or not to follow Him. And he fell. And then He gave free will to Adam and Eve. And they fell. And so, you see, the lie is worshiping the created world. All religions, Muslim religion, Buddhist, Hindu, every other faith but the Christian faith, is worshiping something created by men. And it's full of lies. It'll lead you into lie, into bondage, into death, and into destruction. Yes, sir. There is only one truth. Now, when people accepted this lie, what happened? When God, for this reason, God them gave them over to degrading passions, and for their women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural, woman to woman. Right. Remember Carrie talking about Cheney's daughter being a lesbian. And remember what he said? Well, I don't think this has anything to do with free choice. She was just born that way. Why? Out of the pit of hell.
Yes, indeed.
Because God does not condemn sexual acts outside of marriage and then cause people to commit them.
Amen.
Why? Straight out of the pit of hell. Because God is so good that He created us, giving us, we are the only part of the creation, with free will to even choose Him or to choose against Him. And we make moral choices based on God's truth. And when God puts His truth in us, we say, yes, sir, that's what I will do. And that's health for my body and health for my mind and health for my spirit. And death and destruction come when we receive the lie that we worship the created world. And by the way, it's a form of worshiping our own selves and our own opinions and our own minds and saying, well, that doesn't sound right to me. Sexual activity, pleasurable. I'll do what I want to do, and this is what the world has accepted. And so Senator Kerry and many, not just him, many, many, even people who call themselves Christians, have bought this lie. There is no scientific evidence whatsoever, not one iota, that people are born into homosexuality. Anyway, I have seen a number of homosexuals, confirmed homosexuals, totally set free and delivered from this demon power of hell.
All right.
By the way, we don't have any Christians. We have love for people like this, but we don't love their sin. And in the same way, men abandon their natural function, woman with women, and turned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts, receiving in their own person the death, the due penalty of their error. And just as it did not seem fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind or a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? God delivered them over because they just thumbed their nose at God and said, no, we are going to do what we want to do. We are God. We are our own gods. Our mind, we have decided what is right and what is wrong. And a reprobate mind means a mind that is rejected by God, cast away by God. And listen, one of the meanings of this Greek word, void of judgment. Empty, void of judgment. No judgment left. To do those things which are not proper. And the only person who says what is proper is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He has determined what is proper. He knows your body. He knows your spirit. He knows your mind. He knows your soul. And He wants you to bless you. But when you do what you want to do with your own, with your mind and your body, then you are brought into death and destruction, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustful, unloving, unmerciful, although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to them who do them. Hearty approval, hearty approval. Now, I want to try to personalize this here at the end. I'm not going to read all the passages that I was going to, but I want to read one passage, and then I want to personalize it. Because in John chapter 8, and verse 31. Jesus therefore was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, and his word is the truth, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Glory to God.
Now, Jesus wants to set you free with his absolute truth, made eternal. Then they answered him, we are Abraham's offspring. We have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you should become free? They said, we're free. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Jesus? We're Abraham's offspring. We've never been enslaved. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin.
That's it.
When you commit sin and commit sin and commit sin, now if you repent, you can get out of it. But if you commit sin, commit sin, commit sin, you get into bondage. Sin is based on the lie of the enemy, that there is no sin, that you can do anything you want to. And the slave does not remain at his home forever. The Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son, Jesus, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen my Father, therefore also you do the things which you heard from your father. Now verse 44. You are of your father the devil. Now these are religious leaders. Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, you're of your father, of the devil, you're of the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I speak the truth. Why don't you believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God, and for this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Now, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what about evil circumstances in the world? What about evil things in the world? And what about good things and good circumstances in the world? And here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, the good things that are in the world that produce good circumstances are based on what I have spoken, what I have spoken as the Father to my Son and to the Holy Spirit. My Son brought this truth, and the Holy Spirit brings it into you. When you receive it on the earth, when you receive it on the earth, and you believe and you understand that it's eternal truth, it'll set you free. Free from sickness, free from bondage, free from sin. But why then, Lord, do Christians who receive the truth, believe the truth, and act on the truth sometimes have bad things and evil things that come? And the Lord said, these are things, all evil things and bad things are based on the lies of Satan. They bring bondage. If you're in Christ, the Lord said, if you're in Christ, anything that is evil, anything that is not good, that is happening to you, sickness, bondage, anything that is happening to you will be temporary. Will be temporary. First Peter, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, shall himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, yes, when you get the truth of God for healing, for deliverance, for salvation, for the fullness of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, can that be interrupted? Yes, but the bad things and the evil things that are based on the lies of Satan, they're always based on the lies of Satan, will be temporary. I like Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, when the enemy attacks me, I there's a number of scriptures I liked. I was around the track the other day, and the enemy was after me. And I was just, I like to quote scripture when I run. In fact, I always quote scripture when I run. And I would say, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Satan, you hear that? The Lord delivers them out of me all. Out of them all. Out of them all. But the sobering thing is, people outside of Christ, or who fall away from Christ, these bad, evil things become eternal.
Yeah, they're going to stick. That's right.
They become eternal. They are never out of bondage and death and destruction. It's forever. It's forever darkness. Let's bring it down to the last level. What are some of the bondages that people get in? Depression, rejection, different kinds of fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, abandonment, loneliness, condemnation, guilt, suicide, death, many others. Let's take depression. How many people, how many Christians are under treatment today? It seems to me that about as many Christians as other people go to the psychiatrist and the doctor for depression medicine. Mm-hmm. Now, why do people get depressed? They believe the lies of Satan. They believe the lies of Satan. Let's give an example. Now, don't misunderstand me. You have to have from God exactly what is behind depression. See, there's always something behind depression. God didn't create you depressed, mm-hmm. nor is a part of his salvation depression. Mm-hmm. Why are people depressed? Well, some people are depressed because they have a spirit of rejection. Maybe they're deeply rejected. But what is rejection based on? A lie of Satan. Now, why do people receive a spirit of rejection? Why do Christians receive a spirit of rejection and become rejected? They believe themselves rejected because people are rejecting them. Mother and father, of course, when that happens, that really makes it a deep spirit of rejection. I've known children in the womb to be rejected. The parents didn't want them. And so there is a deep spirit of rejection. But you see, that's based on you believing what people tell you. But the people who speak against you and reject you are probably rejected themselves. Or in some kind of bondage, if not the bondage to rejection. And so, don't believe what is spoken to you from other people, even your parents. Believe the truth of the Word of God, and the truth of the Word of God is He accepts you because Jesus has died for you, and He has taken your sin, and He has taken every bondage from you, and He loves you. He loves you with an overwhelming love, and He accepts you, and you can, and this is true with all of these, by the way, you need therefore to repent of receiving rejection. Because God doesn't reject you, and He is the only one that speaks the eternal truth. You need to repent. You need to forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. And you need to rejoice, rejoice in the truth that you are not rejected. That you are accepted. Now, why do people get into fear? Because they are not loved. One of the greatest needs that people have is to be loved. We all need to be loved. A baby needs to be loved. If babies are not handled and held and loved, they grow up distorted. I mean, every human being needs to be loved. I remember a conference over here years ago at the seminary, 10, 12, 15 years ago, Exodus International, and they said the main need of a homosexual, this is a group that ministers homosexual, they said a main need of a homosexual is they need to be loved. In sexual activity, they're looking for love. Someone to accept them. Someone to love them. And when we are not loved and feel rejected, that brings fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Therefore, if you don't receive the love of God, you are going to be in fear. You are going to be in anxiety. Fear and anxiety are behind depression. Fear and anxiety itself will affect you, spirit, soul, body. So that anger, bitterness, resentment, abandonment, what about these? These are all based on lies of the enemy. Who did God create you to be? Someone accepted, loved. Why do people get into anger? Listen, we are raising a whole generation of children who are angry and enraged about how they have been mistreated and ignored. I mean in total rage and anger, and we're drugging them to try to keep control. Well, of course, the children don't know how to handle this. But we who know should know how to handle this. But it's people who attack and misuse, it's parents especially, who attack and misuse or abandon their children. And naturally there is anger and bitterness and resentment. But God, the truth is that God, if you will repent, if you will forgive, if you will rejoice, God will release a spirit of anger, a spirit of bitterness, and a spirit of resentment, because the truth of Christ will set you free. Condemnation and guilt comes on people. You believe that you are condemned. You believe you are guilty. This is a lie of the enemy. God never condemns. He never makes you guilty. God, Jesus has died so that you wouldn't be guilty. He's taken your guilt. He's taken your condemnation. He convicts you. He never condemns you. Of course, the ultimate purpose of the enemy in all of this bondage is to lead you to suicide and death. And more are committing suicide. And they're believing the lies of the enemy, that no one loves them, no one cares about them. They would be better off dead. And Christ will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And God wants to come because Christ died to defeat Satan, to defeat death, to defeat every lie of the enemy. Listen, tonight, are you believing any lie of the enemy about who God has created you to be? Are you believing anything that people have said to you, and you are receiving what people have said about you as the truth of who you are? Let Jesus break it, because this is the only thing that is true about you. Jesus has come, and His salvation is complete. He is the truth. He is the Word. He is the life. And He wants to come in you so that you can, listen, the people of God need to be set free so they can go out and set other people free through the power of God. We pamper our problems. We recycle our problems. Often psychiatry wants you to just kind of keep going over. Let's talk. You need to quit talking about the bondage that you're in and start speaking the truth of the Word of God. What He has spoken is more true, even though you are not experiencing it. It is more true than what has you been experiencing. I don't care if you've been experiencing it for 20 years. I don't care if you've been experiencing it for 30 years. Some of you haven't lived that long. But I mean, I don't care how long you've been. If you've been experiencing something all of your life, if it is negative, if it is bondage, it's based on lie of the enemy. And Jesus wants to set you free with the truth of the Word of God. And He wants to set you free tonight.